I have one more request that I would like for y'all to remember, and I remembered it while we were praying. There's a couple of ladies that run a fruit market in our neighborhood, and we go there and visit them sometimes. We'll go in there and buy stuff, and we'll visit with them. And the other day, I was in there getting taters and onions, and she was telling me that her name is Sheila, and she was telling me about her granddaughter, Calissa. She had a stroke a few days ago and was in the hospital, and it is undetermined what was the cause of that stroke. Well, I asked her for her granddaughter's name, and I told her my wife and I'd be praying for her, and I just want you all to remember her name is Calissa. And so I guess any prayers we could send up to our Father for our children, for all the children.
I told them the first two aren't on the list.
Right.
You want to do yours or this one?
Okay.
Stacy's first time playing the keyboard in church.
But God.
Well, I was just given a request for this one, so I'm going to go ahead and fulfill that one. Thank you.
Nathan, I hate to interrupt your weekly study time.
Oh, no.
You think you can come help me take up the offer today?
Yeah, I was just reading a little bit.
Go ahead, young man.
Lord Jesus, we just come to you today, Lord God, thanking you for another day, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for a place to gather, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the people that have showed up today, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you bless them, Lord God, and move in their lives like only you can, Lord Jesus. And now, Lord Jesus, I ask that you bless this offering and take it to the good of the kingdom. Lord God, that will be done for only you, Lord God. And now, Lord Jesus, I thank you, I love you, I worship you, I praise your holy name, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Here's it.
My brother's really sick this morning. I called him on Messenger and put him on video so he could at least have some of the worship. And toward the end of the last song, I looked over and his eyes are all beet red. He's trying to, you can tell he's miserable. So, and he just sent me a thing. He said, "Wow, thank you for the worship." Sometimes you're not careful, you can get the idea just because we're little, we ain't bad.
That's right.
Only takes two. Now we're going to step into a different layer of worship today. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. This is going to bring back memories for Teresa and Kitty. Only the memories that they're going to have didn't have a guitar and a keyboard. Everybody is a musician. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got at least one instrument they can play. Well, two, I suppose. It'd be hard to clap with one hand. That probably hurt. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get you started. Ask you to clap along with me on the beat. And then once you're on the beat with me, we'll get started. And we're going to start the first song that's on there, all right? And then the musician's going to do their best to cover me up. I'm going to praise him till the power of the Lord comes down. Praise him till the power of the Lord comes down. Lift up your hand. Don't be afraid. I'm going to praise him till the power of the Lord comes down. Amazing grace. The sound that's in the bridge by me. I once was lost, but now and found, was blind, but now I see. I'm gonna praise him till the power of the Lord comes down. Praise him till the power of the Lord comes down. Lift up your hands. Don't be afraid. I'm gonna praise him till the power of the Lord comes. Alright, hold on a second. We're gonna try something a little bit different. We're gonna do it first without any music until we're all on the same page. And then we're going to let the musicians come in with us. Because here's the deal. We all worship together. There's more power in it when we all do it together.
Amen.
God moves. We've seen people get the Holy Ghost and with nothing but hand clapping and singing. Mm-hmm. And with Jeremiah the Bullfrog singing every key. I knew I had it right at least one time through the course of the song. And God will move because all he wants us to do is just love on him. And that's all this is. So I'm going to ask you to get started with me, and then I'm going to bring the musicians in with us, all right? You'll get used to it after a while. This is a fun way to worship God. I'm going to praise him till the power of the Lord comes down. Praise him till the power of the Lord comes down. Lift up your hands. Don't be afraid. I'm gonna praise him till the power of the Lord comes. Verse 1. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound
that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. I'm gonna praise Him to the power of the Lord.
Oh, that's good!
Praising till the power of the Lord comes down. Lift up your hands. Don't be afraid. I'm gonna praise Him.
All right, musicians, verse number two.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace of tear, the hour I first believed. I'm gonna praise Him till the power of the Lord.
I'm gonna praise Him
till the power of the Lord. Lift up your hands, don't be afraid. I'm gonna praise Him till the power. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's grace that won, He saved His heart, and grace can lead me home. That's why I'm praising till the power of the Lord comes down. Praising till the power of the Lord comes down. Lift up your hands, don't be afraid. I'm gonna praise Him till the power of the Lord comes down. 10,000 years shining as the sun, with no less faith to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I'm gonna praise Him till the power of the Lord comes down. Praise Him till the power of the Lord comes down. Lift up your hands, don't be afraid. I'm gonna praise Him till the power of the Lord.
Third song, I know my God's not dead.
He is alive, for God's not dead. He is alive, for God's not dead. I feel Him in my hands. I feel Him in my feet. I feel Him in my heart. I feel Him all over me. I know my God is not dead. He's alive. I know my God's not dead. He is alive. Oh, God's not dead. He is alive. Well, God's not dead. He is alive. I feel Him in my head. I feel Him in my feet. I feel Him in my heart. I feel Him all over me. I know my God is not dead. He's alive.
Let's praise Him, my man. Lord, we worship You today, Lord.
Thank You, Lord.
Thank You, Jesus.
Thank You, Lord. You can be seated
Mighty
today.
God. Thank You, Lord.
I feel the urge and the impetus to get some word up out of me and into you today.
Amen.
And we got some more fun stuff today. A lot of times on Sundays, you can tell where the preacher's been reading. We're going to be in 2 Kings again. Is that thing blowing cold air, or is it just me? I turned that thing back. I turned it up.
I wonder if this is just to make us psychologically feel better. If it is, it ain't working. All right. I got that filter on 76 now. Let's see what it does.
Second Kings, chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4. One of the things that's kind of strange to me in the Bible is that there are a lot of awesome people in there that you never even hear their name. Never even hear their name. And we're going to draw some lessons today from the life of the Shunammite woman. 2 Kings 4, we're going to start with verse 8. I'm going to ask you to try to resist the urge to read too far ahead, because I don't want to read the whole story and then come back and dig through like we do when we have smaller sections of Scripture, because this one's a lengthy story. So I want to start digging into it right away and would urge you just to stay with me. But I want to talk to you today about when your dream dies in your lap. When a God-given dream dies right in front of your face. Verse number 8. It fell on a day Elisha passed to Shunem. That's King James Version, for he was on his way somewhere else and was going by this city named Shunem, where was a great woman. What's cool about this is there's no hidden meaning to that word. It just means this woman was great. Now, we find out why she was great. She constrained Elisha to eat bread. What that mean was, is the preacher was on his way somewhere else to preach somewhere else, and this lady in the city he was passing by said, "Hey, man, why don't you just stop by for supper? I'll feed you." No reason. Just wanted to feed the preacher. Personally, that's some of my favorite people. Right. She constrained him to stop and eat bread, and so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. She asked him one time, and from that point forward, every time he passed by her city, he said, "I think I'm going to stop by my good sister's house and have some supper." And she said unto her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us all the time." Now, this is really cool wording. She already knew he was a man of God. Everybody knew who Elisha was. He was a prophet, the prophet. And this wasn't just any old prophet. This was a powerful prophet. But see, what this verse teaches us is you can have that title of prophet, and you can even have power with God and not be holy. So what she said was, this guy ain't like the other preachers. This preacher has got a lifestyle that backs up what he preaches. This dude is the real deal. He ain't perfect, but he's the real deal. Because she already learned you can have the title of prophet, and that don't mean nothing about what you're like outside the pulpit. You can preach a whole lot of stuff in this piece of wood right here and behave the exact opposite out there. But after he came by enough, she kept waiting. Because I'm going to tell you something. You eat with somebody enough times, and pretty soon, I mean, that's one of the most private things you can do with somebody. Invite them over to your house and sit down at your table for supper. And you do enough times, you're going to get comfortable and you're going to see the real them. They're going to relax and realize, this lady doesn't want nothing from me. She just knows I might be hungry on my trip and just wants to do a good tea. So you would relax around that kind of a person and open up. And after Elisha did, this lady went to her husband and said, "I perceive." So just right off the bat, we'll see some more proof of this as we go on. This lady's got a husband who ain't spiritual at all. This man does just what's required of him, and that's it. Because he didn't perceive it. They didn't perceive it together. She did. "I perceive that this is a holy man of God. So let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick, so that when he comes to us for supper, he can just crash there." Now, this chamber on the wall, it's not like we might think, like this little square box with nothing in it. Matter of fact, you know, the picture, that famous picture of the painting of the old man sitting at the table, and there's a candle and a piece of bread. That's Elisha in that room off this lady's wall. But when you study this, she didn't make him just a little closet. She made him a nice room off the house. And she was proactive in trying to bless this guy. Because look what she said. She goes, and we're going to put a bed in there. We're going to give him a table. He might want to study. And we're going to give him a nice stool. Now that word stool ain't that little wooden round thing that you see the peasants have. When you study this out, she put in a nice chair in there, a comfortable chair for the prophet when he came by. So when he sat down, he could rest his bones. And we need a candlestick because who knows, he might be up late praying or he might want to study. We put all this in our house, then I know when he comes by, he's not just going to stop for supper. This guy's going to hang out a little while. Now this lady is trying to think of ways to bless this guy. If you have somebody in your life that you can think of, that this lady reminds you of, count that person as a gift. Somebody that looks for a way to bless people. We have a friend up in Illinois, her name's Carolyn, and she's that way. She just is proactive about trying to figure out what she can do to bless somebody. We met him a few times several years back at revivals I preached. And then at one revival service, she called me before the service and said, do you think that your wife would be offended if I gave her this little bag with just some stuff in it? And I said, well, no, because most times when we go somewhere, the preacher gets all the attention and very few people ever consider the preacher's wife. And I said, no, and that blessed me because she thought of something to bless her with. And then she pulled out the stuff out of the bag and it was all the stuff that she liked. And now I'm freaked out. Then I'm like, okay, this is stuff she would have picked out. And Karen looked at me and grinned and said, oh, I know. I went to her Facebook page and looked at all the stuff she likes, and that's when I went out and got it. That's a great woman. Stranger, didn't know Kitty from anybody. And just said, you know what? I'm going to figure out a way to bless her. Now, if you got somebody in your life, they're a gift.
Yes.
Because don't everybody go around saying, well, I wonder what I can do for Lori today. Well, I wonder what I can do for Emma today. And when you get a friend like that, or somebody in the church family that's that way, be thankful for them. And I'm going to toss this challenge out there to you. What would happen if we all started to try to be a little bit like that?
Yeah.
Really? I'm not talking about great extravagant things that cost a lot of money and fancy stuff. No, no, no. You know, the biggest blessing in something is when you realize that person was thinking about you.
Right.
That's all. Just like, wow. Okay, it ain't my birthday. It ain't Christmas. They didn't wreck my car. They're just doing something nice for me. You know how that makes you feel?
Yeah.
You know what you'll learn is it feels even better when you make somebody else feel that way. And that's what this lady, she did it. Her husband's nowhere in the game. Right? He's like a lot of husbands. He let her do it. But he's like a lot of husbands that are unattached from the family life. We'll see that more in a minute. And he's all about his work. His whole life is, I'm going to work, I'm coming home, I'm going to eat, I'm going to sleep, I'm going to rest because I worked yesterday and I got to work tomorrow, and then I'm going to get up and I'm going to work, I'm going to come home, I'm going to eat, and I'm going to sleep because I worked yesterday and I got to work again tomorrow. And his whole life is built around his work, preparing for it or recovering from it, and he feels like everybody else ought to treat him like a king because he goes to work. Never mind, the Bible says, man, don't work, don't let him eat. How about that one, big boy? You go to work because you like groceries. Right? That's how this husband is. So this kind of husband, when a wife has an idea, I'd like to put this room on the house, he's like, okay, that's fine. As long as you got something to do, honey. Because I got my stuff, and just do what you want. And there's a lot of husbands that are just like that. So it fell on a day that Elisha came there and turned into the chamber and lay there. Can you see Elisha? He's laying on that bed she made for him. I mean, I can see him. I know how I feel when I go to places or... Me and Kitty have had the blessing. There's a city of refuge. Lori's been to it. The rest of y'all will be there sooner or later. I was going there to preach one time. Let me fix that. I was going somewhere else to preach one time and got sent to the ghetto side of town. I felt right at home. But when these people at a whole other church, City Refuge, heard that I had to stay there, they got upset about it. And they said, I don't care if you are preaching with somebody else. You're never staying there again. Next time you're around here, you let us know, and we're gonna make sure you got somewhere good to stay. So the next time, I let them know I was coming, preaching for this other place. And they told me, they said, okay, go to such and such church in this city. They've got a room prepared off the side of the fellowship hall. And now, whenever me and Katie go around there to preach for anybody, it doesn't matter. And here's the thing. I've never even met the pastor of the church that has this room off their fellowship hall. He's friends with these other pastors that are friends with us that want to make sure we got somewhere nice to stay. And we walked in this little room and looked around. And man, the room is beautiful. And they thought everything. There's a little coffee maker with flavored coffee. They had little candy and chocolates. I mean, they thought everything. Somebody put a lot of effort in to trying to make the place somewhere where when we walked in, we'd be like, oh, this is great. And they don't even know us. So I know when Elisha got in this bed, he did what I did. Wow, this is awesome. This is cool. This almost makes the hard stuff involved in the ministry worth it. It's times like this, Elisha, and I know what he was doing because I've done it. There are those peaceful times in the ministry where you sit back and you relax and you soak it in. Because it kind of encourages you to be strong enough to go through the hard parts of the ministry. When bad things are going on. When people that you love in your church family are going through tough things and you're trying to help them with it. It's an awesome season when every family in the church, yes, has some difficult things going on, but nobody's dying, nobody lost a limb, nobody's kid is way out there in jail or in an alley somewhere. That's a good season for the preacher, because even though each family has difficult things going on, it's like, we can deal with this. This is hard, but we'll get through this together. And you soak those times in, because you know sooner or later, life happens. So Elisha's kicked back on the bed with his hands behind his head like, oh, I'm liking this part of the ministry. Yeah. And then look what he does. He does something he just can't help to do. He lay there, kicked back, and he said to Gehazi, his servant. Now, Elisha wasn't a rich man. What this really is Elisha is the man of God, and he is the mentor to a young minister named Gehazi, who Elisha is training, because Elisha's hoping that this young man will be the one to take over the office he holds in the family of God when Elisha gets his reward and is with Jesus, right? So he's training this young man. So he talks to the young man he's training, and he says to Gehazi, call this Shunammite. There's two people involved in the story from Shunam. One is the great woman, and the other one's a deadbeat dad. So when Elisha says, this Shunammite, Gehazi knows which Shunammite he's talking about. The one that's proactive in blessing him. There's no confusion which Shunammite they're talking about. And when Gehazi called her, she stood before him. Now, you'll see in another verse, this she was outside the door. Elisha's kicked back on the bed. He ain't getting up. Hey, can you call her? Just have her stand at the door, though, and I'll just holler through the door at her, because, man, it's awful comfortable in this bed she made for me here. She stands outside the door, and he said unto him, he tells Gehazi what to say to her. He says unto him, say unto her now, you have been careful for us with all this care. Can you see him on the bed? Now his hands aren't behind his head anymore, and he's looking around at the table and the stool and the candle and the room. Who knows? I don't know if women back then put dead twigs on the wall. What do they call that stuff? What do they call that? Huh? No, they're actually dead twigs, and they have a name.
Swag.
Swag! Yeah. See, guys call swag this. Girls call swag dead sticks in a bundle. Put it on the wall. Why not? Tree's got enough. So I don't know if you looked around, there was swag on the wall, but when he looked around and he's talking to Gehazi to tell her and said, hey, you have been careful. You've thought a lot about all this. And I can see him just waving his hand around all the room. Like, you did all this just for us. Understand, people don't go around just doing all kinds of stuff for the prophet unless they want something. It's the truth. This guy right here is used to when people say, hey, man, come have supper. Before supper's over,
can you do this for me? Can you talk to my, can you come over to my, can you pray for my? There's always a string attached. But this lady didn't have no strings. He's been there several times. Now he's got a room, and he's like, this lady is just a cool lady. I got to bless her somehow. And that's the kingdom mindset, isn't it? When somebody comes in your life and they're just a plus. I mean, how many times has somebody just come in your life and they're a plus for no reason? And they don't attempt to draw anything out of the count. Every time they come around, they just add to. And when people like that come in your life, again, I repeat myself, they are a gift.
Yes.
And whether they're in a church or not, they are a gift from God. Because it ain't in our nature to go around putting somebody else before us. The flesh don't do that.
Right.
God's spirit does that.
Mm-hmm.
So this preacher's like, I got to do something for her, man. Because you've been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for you? Like, then look at this. Elisha kind of lets her know he's got a little clout. Would you like me to talk to the king? Or, I don't know, maybe you want me to talk to the general of his army. And she answered back, I dwell among my own people. That's King James for, I'm good. Yeah. What? Dude, this guy's a prophet that can pray stuff out of thin air.
Right.
If he asks me if I got anything he can pray for, I'm sure I'm going to come up with something. All of us got everything we need, but in our mind, every one of us has something in our mind that, you know what, if I could have, and something fills the blank. And there ain't anything wrong with that as long as we don't make that a God and put everything else to the side, striving after that one thing that's not a need. But this woman, the man of God who she knows now is a holy man of God and got power with God, can pray stuff out of thin air, says, what can I do for you? Now, Elisha, we have to pardon him right here. He's enjoying that bed in that room so much, he's thinking carnal right now. He didn't ask her one time, could I pray for something? He said, can I talk to the king? Could I talk to the general? And the ladies kick back, she's thinking, no, I'm good. No, they can't do nothing for me. I got everything I need. How many times do you think the preacher heard that? She answered back and said, I'm good. He said, what then is to be done for her? Now understand, she's gone. He dismissed her. She leaves. He's talking to Gehazi. What then is to be done for her? Gehazi, we got to do something for this lady. Have you ever had a driving desire to bless a particular person in your life? Where you just had to think of something to do. I mean, you loved them so much, they meant so much to you, you valued them so much that you had in your head, I've got to do something to show them I care about them. And that's where the preacher was. What a privilege it is for the preacher to have people in his life that he considers such a blessing that he sits back and says, I got to figure out a way to bless these people, man. What's to be done for her? Gehazi answered and said, well, she ain't got a kid and her husband's an old man, can't help her. Elisha says, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. Now she's in the door. And he's talking right to her this time, Elisha. He says, about this season, according to time of life, you will embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, don't lie to me.
Yep.
He told her something that she doubtless had stopped praying for years ago. Now I'm going to ask you to think about this and make this personal for a minute. All of us at this point in life, us adults anyway, have had something in our life that when we were younger, we dreamed of being in our life when we got older. Whether it was another child or whatever the case might be. There was something that we dreamed of having in our life when we were older. But as we got older, there came a time where we had to realize and accept that that just wasn't going to happen. That's a difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rough process to be in. Because then you got to get to the place where you understand that you're not, it's not your lack of faith in God that it's not happening. And you know God can do it. You just have to get to the place where you recognize, well, it must be the will of God that this dream isn't in my life. And then you have to accept that. And the easiest way to accept those things is to stop thinking about it. You take that thing that you thought about all the time when you were still dreaming for it, and when you realize the dream ain't gonna come true, you gotta take that thing and put it in a closet and shut the door and lock that door and not even think about it, because when you do, it starts to unravel your confidence in God. It starts to unravel your self-esteem. It's just bad news. And it hurts to think about that because you spent so much of your life dreaming about that. But now is the reality that's not going to happen. So this great woman, why is she great so far? So far she's great because she's kind and she's considerate and she thinks in other people's shoes. She put herself in the preacher's shoes. Because that's the only way, you know, a preacher that travels a lot would sure like to have somewhere to rest. And when he does rest, he needs to have a table. And he needs a good stool. He needs a candle. He might want to be up in the middle of the night studying. So that's why she's great so far. But now the preacher is taking her to a dream that has long been dead. It's locked behind the door of too late now. Understand too, this preacher is praying for something she prayed for years, but stopped because God didn't answer it. And now this preacher is taking that old closet and he's knocking the lock off and opening the door and talking about something that she hasn't uttered out of her mouth in a long time. Man of God, don't lie to me. The very next word, the woman conceived, bare a son, exactly when Elisha said to her. And when the child was grown, now it doesn't mean he's an adult. He's not nearly the size of Nathan Bodine up here. He's just just an older child. He ain't in diapers no more. When the child was grown, it fell on a day. He went out to his father to the reapers. His father had servants under him. These people were wealthy. And it's harvest time. And the boy goes out to be with his dad, just like every boy wants to. He's out with his father in the fields and the reapers. And he says unto his father, "My head, my head." Now, we don't know if he had an aneurysm. We don't know if he had heat stroke. Something happened to this boy. And his father said to a lad, "Take him to his mom." Wow, Dad. That's awesome. The thing that's particularly troubling about this is every other time in the Bible when you see a child of a man's old age, the old man loses his mind and spoils a child rotten. Joseph had to go to prison because his daddy Joseph was ruining him. He'd been given a child to train, not to spoil. God gave Jacob Joseph to train him to be the leader over all of Egypt and save all of God's people. But what Joseph did, because he got that child at an old age and spoiled them rotten, make it obvious to all the rest of his kids he loved this one more than them, gave him a coat of many colors, and made him a brat. So God said, "I didn't give you that boy to make him a brat. I gave you that boy to make him a leader. And since you ain't going to do what I gave him to you for, I still need him to do a job. I'm going to take that child from you." I ain't got time for all that today. That's a whole nother. So here we got a man who had a child in his old age, but he don't care. He's got servants. He could have told left the lad in his place. He lost one worker. He could have left the young man in his place and took his own son to his wife. He don't even do that. Calls to some servant, says, "Hey, take him to his mom." He didn't say, "Take my son to my wife." This is an unattached father. Deadbeat dad. And he said, "Who'll that carry him to his mother?" When he had taken him, he brought him to his mother. He sat on her knees till noon and then died. Gosh. Many times in the Bible, is that air feeling warmer or is it just me? I sweat up a little bit when I... You ain't a good thermometer at all. A lot of times when you read a verse, there's a whole lot more in that verse than the words. He sat on her knees till noon and died. You know what that means? That means she took that baby. She's working in the house, doing housework. Somebody knocks on the door. She goes to the door and somebody's standing there with her son and his limp, lifeless body. She gets handed the boy. The young man goes all the way back out to the field. He's got a tyrant for a boss. He's got to get back out in the field. He knows his boss don't care about this boy. She gets her boy. She gets her God-given dream handed to her, and her dream's dying right in front of her eyes. So when he said he sat on her knees, it ain't like she was just sitting there sewing while her son just laid on her knees dying. Man, you know what a mom does. You ladies do for real, man. That mom had that baby. That mama had that baby's head up by her head. That mama was crying. Her tears coming falling onto that baby. And you know what that mama did the whole time that baby was dying? She prayed! And begged. What mother wouldn't? What good father wouldn't? And I'm going to tell you exactly how she did it. This wasn't no pretty prayer. God, this is the dream you gave me. I didn't even ask you for this, God. I stopped asking you for this a long time ago, and I was good knowing it was never going to come. And then you brought it up again, and then you gave me this miracle. Now my miracle dream is dying. Lord, save my dream. Save my baby. Save my miracle. Why would you give me this miracle just to take it? When he had taken him, he brought him to his mother, sat on her knees to the moon, and then died. The dream, God gave him, dream, God given miracle, died right in front of her eyes while she was begging God to save him. Now we're going to learn what nobody knew about this woman. How great she really was. Watch what she does. Her dream dies. Her miracle dies. And she didn't just get up right away. If you remember the time in your life where you cried yourself out in tears, you remember what it feels like? You remember when you're done, you're exhausted? When you're done, you feel like all this tangled, messed up stuff inside of you, now it's out, but you don't feel, you're glad it's out, but you don't feel better about the situation, and you're exhausted, and nothing makes sense just because you cried yourself out of tears. So we don't know how long this woman sat on her knees with her dead baby in her arms. But we know she sat there until there wasn't no more tears, and then she went up and laid him in the bed of the man of God, shut the door, and went out. I got to give you two things from this. Two things from this. If you have already in your life had what you knew was a God-given dream, what you knew was a God-given miracle, and you know God was in it when it started, but it died, and it's dead, and it's not there anymore, go back where it all started. This woman had no logical explanation for what she did. All she knew was the dream that the man of God had spoken into her life had come to pass, and now that dream, that miracle was dead. So the only thing she could think of, the only thing I know to do is I'm going to take my dead dream back where it all started. And she went to the man of God's room, the same room she stood in the doorway when he said, "You're going to have a baby." She went right back to that same room, and now the baby's a little older, and that baby's dead. She didn't have a plan. She didn't have no Bible precedent. She couldn't go through the Bible and say, "Well, this lady here in this book, in this chapter, in this verse did it, so I'm going to do it too." And God said, "If I do it too, again." No, she didn't know what else to do.
Right.
So I'm going to tell you today, whether you have a dream in God that already died, or if you haven't had that happen yet, either way, when that dream dies, go back where it started. Go back and make sure everything in your relationship, not with the man of God, but with God, the one that gave you that dream, gave you that miracle, go back to where you were in Him when it started. Because if you don't, there is danger. If you don't, there will be blame. If you don't, there will be bitterness. If you don't, there will be anger with God. But she went right back where she started. She called unto her husband, said, "Send me one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again." And the awesome dad answers back and say, "How's our son?" No, I don't even think the NIV says that. It says anything it wants to. She calls her husband and says, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God, and I'll be back." And the husband, the father, the deadbeat dad answers and said, "Why will you go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath." That's King James for it. It ain't church day. What you looking for to preach it for? It ain't Sunday. It ain't Wednesday Bible study. What you going to the preacher for? It ain't even a church day. Never once does he ask, "How is our son?" That's pitiful. Now we see this woman's even greater than we thought she was. She didn't even fool with telling him. Notice this. He don't ask and she don't tell. You know why she didn't tell him their son was dead? Because he had never let her have that donkey and that servant. Because he just said, "It's over with. There ain't nothing you can do now." She was married to a man with no spiritual confidence in God. She was married to a man that said, "If I can't figure out how to do it, it ain't going to happen. God ain't going to do nothing for you now. It's dead. He failed you." He don't ask her, and she don't tell. And she don't take it out on him either. Mama's got a plan. Mama's like, "You may not be one to help me right now, but I ain't going to let you stop me either." Uh-huh. Thank God for Mama Bear. That's what I got to say today. Man, if you have or ever had a Mama Bear in your life, they'll drive you nuts sometimes, but thank God you got them or had them. Because won't nobody fight for you like Mama Bear. Nobody. He said, "Why are you going to go to the preacher today? It ain't Sunday or Wednesday." And she said, "It'll be good. It's all well." And that's how the wife does it. She said, "It's okay, honey. Don't worry about it." I've learned when she does that and pats me and says, "It's okay, Arliss. Don't worry about it." I'm like, "Okay. Mama's got a plan. I ain't getting in it." She saddled an ass, said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Don't slow down for me except I ask you. Don't slow down unless I ask you." And she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel, 32.8 miles away on the back of a donkey. Full speed. Man, there ain't nobody as determined as a mama bear trying to do something for her baby. 33 miles on a donkey. Full speed. It don't say anywhere she ever told that servant to slow down either. Dude, that servant's probably in the dust. I read one commentary that said the way they did that back then was the lady got on the donkey and the servant ran behind him with a little whip-like thing slapping the donkey's butt. And I thought, that ain't what happened this time. That lady left that dude in the dust. All she knew is my dream is dead, and I don't even know if anything can happen with it now, but I know one person, my husband, might not get involved and do whatever he needs to do to help me, but there's a man of God that if anything could happen, I know somebody that talks to God and God talks back. I know somebody that spoke an impossible word to me and I thought he was lying. Next thing I know, there it is. Uh-huh. Yeah. So all I know is if there's anything can be done, I got to get to him 33 miles. Great woman. I cannot, please forgive me, but I keep getting the image of Granny clamping on the back of a horse. Why? Run now. Tells Gehazi, run, meet her, say unto her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And Gehazi gets to her and she answers, yeah, it's all good. And your dream's dead. Your son that you didn't even ask for, stop believing for, just died in your arms. You rode 33 miles on a donkey, full speed, and it's all good? I'm sorry. Call me a sissy. It ain't all good. You get off of that donkey after 33 miles full speed, and you're walking around, and you're doing this.
Yeah.
And you ain't sitting down for a month. Oh, it's all good. When she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. How do you do that? He wasn't up in the tree. This mama gets off that donkey, 33 miles, full speed, gets off the donkey, does a Pete Rose head first slide right into the feet of the man of God and just grabs him right around his feet. Now, understand, this man of God loves her. I mean, he does. I know he does. And Gehazi comes near to thrust her away. Whoa, that's sensitive, dude. You related to her husband? Pretty sure you two, you guys are related. He comes near to thrust her away, and the man of God says, leave her alone. Her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord has hid it from me and not told me. Huh. See, there's a lot of people think that if the preacher don't know there's something awful going on in your life, and the preacher don't know about it, he ain't a real man of God. Good grief, man. Elisha's running around with double portion, more anointing he knows what to do with. Actually right. Mishandles it several times. Mm. Could pray fire down from heaven. Could pray babies in a mama's womb that didn't have no right having one. He didn't know what was wrong with this person that he loved. Man of God ain't always going to know everything.
Right.
So look, do yourself a favor. You got something serious going on in your life that you need the man of God to be praying about. Don't say, well, if it's that important he does need to pray about, God will tell him and then I'll know to share it. You might be waiting a mighty long time.
Yeah.
I ain't no Elisha. This is the wrong church. Good luck finding one. When you do, he might not know either. Elisha didn't.
Right.
Elisha says, there's something going on and I don't know what it is. And she said, did I ask you for a son? I guarantee her voice is that tone.
Ooh.
Did I ask you for a son? Didn't I say don't lie to me? Notice how she words it this time. The first time she did say don't lie. This time she says, didn't I say don't deceive me?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you deceived me. You made me dream again. You made me get excited about having something in my life again that I had already accepted was never going to be there, and you let me have it only to take it. You know how many times that has been said to God by people the world over for the entire history of mankind? There are times where it seems exactly like that.
Yeah.
I remember I had been railing at God for probably about 8 months after Angel died. God finally spoke back to me, and it wasn't the way I liked either. He spoke back to me, and he said, how long are you going to be angry at me for taking a life? You were angry at me for giving. He said, what are you talking about? Angel was conceived out of wedlock. I was angry about the whole situation. But it was my first lesson in life that what you can be angry about when it starts can turn into one of the biggest gifts you've ever had in your life. So I know what it is to rail at God. See, he deceived me. Why even let this blessing be in my life if you knew you're God? You knew when you gave this to me you were going to take it. Why give it to me just to take it? God gave us a Savior just to take it. The only way we get to go to heaven at all, the only way we get to stay out of hell at all, was because God gave himself a body and came into this world as Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, our Savior, knowing while he was still a baby in Mary's womb that there was a cross waiting. And then, look what he did, Jimmy. He put himself into a carpenter's family. With a daddy that taught him how to work with wood, Emma. Knowing the whole time when he's nailing on that wood that one of these days he was going to lay on a piece of wood and they were going to nail a nail through his hands. And he could have stopped at any time he wanted to, Lord, and said, No, Father. So we serve a God that knows what it is to have this beautiful thing only for it to be taken and be none of your fault. Jesus was without blemish. He never did a bad thing to anybody or anything, and they murdered him. The Bible says that we have a throne of grace that we can approach boldly in time of need. Amen. And it says the reason we have that throne of grace is because we serve a high priest that is touched by the feeling of our infirmity. That don't mean like you and me, we see something and say, oh, that touched me, that made my heart, oh, that blessed my heart, it touched me. No. He's touched by what we go through. It touches him. So if you're here today and you ever railed at God and you were ever angry with God and you ever had something that just died right in front of your eyes and when it started you knew it was God given and it was a dream, you're in good company. I urge you today, if that has happened to you already, or on the day when it will happen, because sooner or later, God will let a dream in your life die. He will. So if it has happened already, or if it has not happened yet, on the day that it does, make sure you do what this great woman did, when it would be so easy to say, I ain't got nothing for you, God. This woman could have made a decision. You know what? We're going to bury my son, and I'm going to wait for the next time for that preacher to come through shooting him. Oh, I'm going to have some supper for him, all right. Huh? Yeah. She could have stewed it. Can't nobody stew like a mama bear that's angry over her kids, either. You imagine the temper she'd have been in waiting for him to get there. By the time he got there, it'd have been laid out, and it wouldn't have been no red carpet. Mm-hmm. It'd have been red on the way out. Right. Huh? She didn't do that. All she knew was, I got to go back where this all started. And then she goes to the man of God and she's honest about it. Look at this. She's not no image of this impossible role model. Oh, man of God, you bless me so I know you can redo this. No, she didn't have a clue. All she knew was, I'm going to talk to you. Mm-hmm. You deceived me. Then he said, Gehazi, gird up your loins, take my staff, in your hand, go your way. If you meet anybody, don't talk to them. If anybody salutes you, don't even talk back to them. Don't answer. Don't say hello. Run! And lay my staff on the face of the child. Gehazi leaves. The mother of the child says, "The Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth. I'm not leaving you, preacher. He can go do what he wants to. I'm not leaving here until you do." So Elisha gets up and goes with. That's a smart move, Elisha. Gehazi passed on before, laid the staff on the face of the child. Look at this. But there was neither voice nor hearing. In other words, the child did not come back to life. So Gehazi leaves, goes back to meet him, and tells him the child's still dead. Notice Gehazi doesn't do one thing extra. You know why? This ain't his dream. Don't faze him none. This is a good picture of a lot of the ministry today. I'm going to go do my job. I'm going to pray for you from over here. Or the ministry in your life, and you got something chaos going on and you need some real help. You need a life jacket. Praying for y'all. So we're praying for you. You're in our prayers. See, this ain't Gehazi's dream. Gehazi didn't speak this thing. This is not the woman in Elisha. Ain't none of my concern. A ministry that has no concern for other people isn't a ministry at all. And a man of God that has no care for people, whether they're in his congregation or not, is no man of God. Mm. Elisha, come to the house. We're getting there. You're doing good, Caleb, by the way. Elisha comes to the house. The child's dead and laid on his bed. How'd you like to get back to your room?
Right.
And he's laying on your bed. Whoa, she didn't tell me this. You get back there and he's on your bed. There ain't no escape from this. There ain't no avoiding this. I ain't going to let you avoid my problem, preacher. I'm going to put it right where I know you're going to have to see it. Mm. Huh. Look what he does. He went in there for shut the door. Sometimes you got to shut the door on the world and get along with the problem. And I want you to notice this is the most anointed man to ever walk the earth. Look what happens to him. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, prayed unto the Lord, went up, lay upon the child, his mouth upon his mouth, eyes upon his eyes, hands upon his hands, stretches himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Didn't come alive. Then he returned, walked in the house back and forth. Yeah, you know what he was doing? He wasn't just walking around strolling. He was walking. Lord, you got to do something. This woman's standing right outside the door. I don't know why you did this, Lord. I know you gave me this promise. I don't understand why this happened this way. But Lord, please have mercy. Look, God, honor the way that she cares about us, the way she's blessed us for no reason. This is a great woman, God. I'm asking you, please help her. Walks to and fro, went up, stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Mm. I guess Elisha had bad breath. I'm going to give you this little tidbit. If we are going to be used by God to help people come to life in God, then we're going to have to learn to see how they see. We're going to have to learn why they talk the way they talk. Elisha put his eyes on his eyes, his lips on his lips, his hands on his hands. We're going to have to remember what it feels like to be them. The church gets past a place where it remembers what it feels like to be them. It's no longer the church. He called Gehazi, said, "Call the Shunammite." He called her. When she was coming unto him, he said, "Take up your son." She went in, fell at his feet. Look, she don't even go to the bed and get her boy out of that bed first. She opens that door. I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. If when she was standing outside, if she thought she'd really open that door to see her dream alive again, I don't know. All I know is Elisha's been in there a little while. He didn't do like a Gehazi. He didn't just go in there and pray, "Lord, please raise him from the dead." And when he didn't, come back out and said, "Your son's dead." Elisha went in there. He ain't come out yet. And I can feel better about the fact I know he ain't playing. I can feel better about the fact I know he's fighting for me. And the door opens, and that mama, she's more than likely expecting Elisha to say the same thing Gehazi did, because the first time the man of God's word didn't come to pass is when he sent Gehazi with a staff. It didn't work. That's a hard thing to keep confidence in the man of God when you speak something and it don't happen. So she's probably fully expecting Elisha to open the door and say, man, I tried my best and I'm sorry and I'll help you through this best I can, but your son's dead. And she opens that door and her son's sitting on the bed. And you know, everything inside that mom wanted to blow right by that mom, right by that preacher, and dive on that boy, just hug him. You know how mom hugs you, like, Mom, let go! Mom, you hurt me! Mom! But the thing that made her great, she never forgot God. She never forgot how it all started. And her boy is alive, a miracle. The miracle's been miraculized again. He's a double miracle. And instead of diving at him, she goes right back where she went to when she found the man of God, when her dream was, ooh, that's good. She did the same thing when her dream was alive again that she did when it was dead. When she went to Elisha when her dream was dead, she went to his feet. Now her dream's alive again, and what did she do? She went right back to his feet again. And then she went and got her boy, and she went out. It don't tell what she did after that, but I guarantee Elisha had a mighty fine supper that night. I can also guarantee, well, I wish I could do that thing girls do, wouldn't you? I also guarantee you, when that husband got home, old meathead, deadbeat dad, not attached, absentee father, all this stuff's going on. This mama's fighting for the life of her child. Daddy's not even involved, thinking he is because he's working. Can you see the greeting he got when he got home that day? I guarantee you the preacher had a T-bone steak in the room. Daddy probably got home and got ramen noodles. Not even cooked yet. Dry. We're out of water. Chew on that.
Yikes.
I'm gonna ask you to stand with me. Oh.
Let me give you a couple things here. Ever in your life, ever, if you're somewhere and you're in a church, whether you're trying to decide whether to make that your church family, or if you've made that decision and you've been there for a while, and you have something serious happen to you, something hurtful, and whoever the minister is there doesn't fight for you as if that was his, find another church. Because there's going to come a day in your life where you're going to need a minister, a man of God, to fight with you and for you. We don't know how many times that mama begged God for that son to come alive. And we know Elisha didn't love that boy more than that mama did. But when Elisha begged God for that son to come alive, he did. Now you know me. I don't spend my time trying to put the ministry up here. I don't. What I spend my time is trying to breathe into you things that will help you all the days of your life. Way past me. This Gehazi, he did what he was told. You know, come to the hospital bed and put a little oil on you. Lord, thank you for my brother. We know sickness is a part of life, but get him out of here as soon as you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to come see you, brother. God bless you. Hope to see you in church Sunday. Man, I'm in the hospital and it's bad. I want somebody to come in. I won't have to put my other arm over my face because I'm afraid you might be spitting all over me. I'm praying so hard. Huh? I'm going to be nervous. You're going to lather the whole hand in cooking oil and try to just... Huh? I want somebody that's serious and cares. Okay, Hazai goes in, puts staff on her. It don't work. He did what he's told. I'm out. I did my job. My job. There's a difference between a job and a burden. Burden will fight. Job will do what is expected, no more. Let's get a Hazai. Later on, he gets greedy. Elisha curses him. He's got leprosy. Years go by, and Elisha and this great woman are still friends. Years. And then Elisha tells her one day, he says, hey, God's calling a famine on Israel. Go wherever you got to go, but get out of here. Because there ain't going to be no food here or nothing. It ain't going to rain, crops ain't going to grow, and it's going to last 7 years. Get out of here. She leaves. 7 years. After 7 years is over, she comes back. She goes into the king, and she's crying to the king to get her land back. Because while she was gone, don't you know, squatters come in and took over their land, their house. And she comes to the king and asks for all her land back. Her husband's dead by now. He was old back before. And she comes in to see the king, and guess who's standing next to the king? Gehazi. Wait. This is in Israel. He's a leper. He's white as snow. You don't get into the palace when you're a leper in Israel. You don't get into the palace when you're a leper in America. They ain't letting you in. Somehow God put this Gehazi right next to the man that this great woman was going to have to go to beg for her land back. You know why? Because the Bible says, look it up. It's an awesome story. It's in chapter 8 of the same book. It says the king had just asked Gehazi, Gehazi, tell me about the awesome stuff Elisha did, man. I want to hear some of those testimonies again. And guess what story Gehazi just happens to be telling the king when the great woman's coming back to ask for her land back? Yeah! I'm telling you today, if you stay where you started, if when God fails you, wait, what'd you say? Thank you. See, we know God don't fail. Yeah. But there'll be things that'll die right in front of your eyes. And you can't get rid of the idea that God has failed you. Every one of you, if you haven't felt that way about something already, you will. And when you feel that way, you got a great woman for an example. Go back where it started, because if you don't, you're going to get bitter at God, you're going to get angry at God, you're going to be one of the people that gets mad when you talk about church. But if you go back where it started and you don't lie and don't try to put on a front and just bring your brokenness and just go at the feet of Jesus and just say, I feel deceived, God, I don't understand. He's going to be all right with that, because he was in the garden one night. He said, Father, if there's any other way for all those people to be saved, Father, if there's any other way for Lori to have her sins washed away, can we do it that way? I don't want to do this. This is awful. I thought I could, but I don't feel like I can now. Is there any other way? And when he needed to hear from his father the most, there was no answer. And when he realized it wasn't going to be another way, and he realized it wasn't going to be another answer, you know what he said. Not my will, but thy will be done. And sometimes God's will for us is some dying. But we got an awesome example there too. Because if you'll be brave enough and trust God enough to let the dying happen, there will be a resurrection. Without the cross, there ain't no resurrection, am I? Without the resurrection, there ain't no Holy Ghost, Caleb. Without all that, there ain't no us
in heaven. So I'm going to ask you today, do you have anything? And you don't have to physically do it this way. You can do it this way in here. Do you have anything today? Something that died? That you need to bring to God right now and just make a statement to God, Lord, I don't pretend to understand. I mean, I see why, but I don't understand here. But Lord, here's where I was when I started. And that's all I know to go back to. And I trust you. If you have anything in your life that's already occurred like that, or something you might be going through right now that's a lot like that, as somebody that cares about you, I urge you today to bring it to God. Lord, here I am. And I'm going to say this to the ones of you that have not had anything like that happen in your life yet. You will. I would urge you today to come to God and say, Lord, here I am. Give me the strength I'm going to need for that day. I'm going to stay where I started. If you want to pray, I'm going to ask you to come pray. Lord, I thank you, Father, today. Lord, I thank you. You've been faithful. Lord, I thank you, Father God, today. Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you, God. Lord, parts of us, parts of our hearts. Lord, here we stand all these years there, right where it started, God. We don't understand a lot, Father. We love you. We trust you. We're going to follow after you. We praise you today, Jesus. Lord, I ask you, God, come and keep us on earth. It's for us, Lord, to God. Ask you for courage. Help the hurting places. I thank you, Lord, for the blessing that you wants to pour on us. I thank you, Lord, for the years of laughter. I thank you, Lord, for the years of love. Forgive as you was to us, God. The Lord, there's never going to be a day you can figure it out or understand it or make sense. It's going to be okay. We love you. Stay where we started. Because of that, God, we're going to see you again. Face to face, we're going to see you. Take good care of you, God. Bless your name, Father. I worship you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your faithfulness. I thank you today, God, for our church family, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the Russell family. Thank you, Lord, for Teresa and Kayla and Emma. Thank you, Lord, for the Wells family, for the other Rapier family. Thank you for Donald, Gloria, Lord. And I ask you today, God, minister. Minister in the places in need, God. I ask you today, Father, to put strength where strength is needed today, God. Lord, you know what tomorrow holds, God. know every single one of us today. I ask you, God, to strengthen your people, to encourage them. I thank you, Father, that we stand as a people today. Each one of us has a list of things that used to be prayer requests, but today they're on the testimony side of the paper, Father. And I thank you for that, Lord. I pray today, God, you would give strength to your people. You would encourage them. I pray, Lord, you would sink in them, God, what needs to be there for the day they're going to need it, Father. And I ask you, Lord, help us today to be like this great woman, Father. Help us, God, to never forget where it started. Help us to be the kind of people that just look for ways to bless somebody. That just look for ways to be good to people. Help us, Father, to be... Help me and Kitty. Help us, Lord, to be... To have the same spirit Elisha did, God. Help us, Father, to value the great people that you put in our lives, Father God. Help us, Lord, to never take them for granted. Help us to never just shrug off their needs, God, or the things they need prayer for, Lord. Help us to learn to fight for them, God. I pray today that you would help us to be a church family that never forgets what it is to be lost. Never forget how it feels to be dead. Never forget what it is to have eyes that don't see, hands that don't feel anything good, Lord. Trust us, Father, with the people that are hurting today. Trust us with them, God. I plead the blood of Jesus over all your people right now. I ask you, Lord, to be with them all week long until we come together again on Wednesday. I ask you, Father, to be with the Wells family. Use them next Sunday, Father, to break bread, Lord. I ask you today to keep us all safe and sound until we meet again. And the church said in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, God bless you. You're dismissed today in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
That's a wrap.